할렐루야 예수님. So this mantra has two aspects to it. One is the transcendental potency that is in the mantra itself, in the holy names. Such holy names are not ordinary words. They're words that come from another plane, and therefore they can uplift us. So many things transpire. Everyone in this world is carrying the reactions of so many previous lives, karma. This karma now is being dissolved as transcendental sound is touching the entire atmosphere. Just like one may wonder, what are they doing in the streets with that strange chant? The first thing they're doing is they're cleaning. They're cleaning the city. And then, after the cleansing is going on, Chito Darpanam Marjanam Bhavamaha Dhavakina Bhavanam. It said that consciousness is like a mirror, but when that mirror is covered by dust, what can you see? Not much. But when the dust is removed, then you'll see. So then we can see on deeper levels. Then we begin to perceive the other reality. So this is the more advanced stage of chanting. It is very interesting because we are doing it. We ourselves are singing and producing this sound, and yet the sound has an effect on us. It's interesting how that sound has a life of its own and how it is elevating our consciousness, how it is giving us, it remains fixed at the mantra. Of course, the melody can do so many things. The rhythms also, the pace, the moods can change. As I said, sometimes there's a storm on the Cape, and other times it's very peaceful. Although always a bit windy. What to do? When I'm playing, it's like that. I guess I'm not the most mellow kirtan leader who takes you in the softest, deepest meditations. My meditations are a little wild sometimes. What to do? But all these flavors are there, different moods, different flavors, and yet the same mantra. And that's it. That's the world. So many varieties, so many colors, so many forms, so many shapes, so many situations, so many people, so many names, so many things happening. And yet, underneath it all, there is the one constant factor, the spiritual reality. That doesn't change. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, says Bhagavad Gita. One who knows that remains peaceful, prasanatma, satisfied within the self. Atmarama chamuneyo. Atmaram is another word for self-satisfied. Yes, and then it carries on. It is not enough to know that behind all the variety in this world is spiritual energy, that everything rests on the all-pervading spiritual energy. There is more. one must also see that energy, that behind energy, there is the energetic. Just like I was energetic, and then the energy began to flow out of the bellows and of the keys and out of the throat and other, wherever it came from. So the energetic is the cause of energy. So one must see also the energetic, not just the energy. As a person, there's a person behind it all. At least in this world we see, behind it all, there are personalities. And so the ancients say that there are personalities behind the wind. There are personalities behind the sun. And modern science said rubbish. It is just high pressure, low pressure, and the wind blows from high to low. Yes. No, not all. There is more. There are personalities. Yes, the elves are back. They have been banned for a long time. Elves and other subtle creatures controlling the forces of nature once upon a time were believed in and then dismissed to the realm of fairy tales. With the cross, we chased them away. But now the times are changing and the elves are returning. This time to stay. In the north of England, in Scotland, there is a community called Findhorn. And I don't know if you ever heard of Findhorn, but Findhorn was interesting because Scotland is quite far north. And that means in the northern hemisphere, cold. So normally in places like that, you don't grow much. Potatoes, kale, and maybe some cabbage in the summer. But that's pushing it, but not much. Not many flowers are growing there. Thistles and thorns, and in the high plains of Scotland, where it is cold and the wind is blowing. But there in Findhorn, they are growing everything. They're growing all kinds of things. And how is it so? How is it possibly so? I would wonder. It's kind of out of the climate, if you know what I mean, and things are growing. How is it possible? I tell you one thing, the people in Findhorn are worshipping elves. Yes, they are. Oh, yes. And it works. Excuse me, you may not believe in it, but it works like anything. There are flowers growing, there is fruit growing, there is all kinds of things growing that they never had in Scotland. Oh yes, and all because of the elves. Oh well, what to do with that? You know, we find elves in ancient Norwegian stories and we find them everywhere. Even Africa must have some. But I tell you one thing, the Vedic literature explains it all. So there are all kinds of controllers, powerful demigods who are controlling big forces of nature and small ones who are controlling the smaller things. And who are indeed every tree as a protecting deity. My God, is it really true? The Vedas say so. That is interesting. That what was once banned to the fairy tales now comes back in the form of Vedic literature, but this time more scientific and more systematic and with more authority. Now we understand 33 crore or 330 million different entities controlling all the forces in nature. And thus, impersonalism is driven out. no longer just forces and vectors and all those dry things. No, there is juice. Not only energies, there is energetic. Ah, I see. And does it end there? No. Does it begin there? No. It doesn't begin with these personalities, nor does it end there. Because, obviously, there is an ultimate personality beyond. One supreme personality. And that is Krishna. Krishna is a name, meaning all attractive. He's also Ram, meaning the source of all happiness. There's so many names. Govinda, many names. In all these names, some of his qualities are described. But there is a person, but not a person like you or me, not a limited person. Once I was in New York City, and as I came into Central Park, there was a man sitting on a bench. And he revealed himself to me. He was God. I said, wow. After all these years, you know, I've been walking around in this orange dress all these years. I've been praying prayers, but I'm telling you, so far, I never saw God. And this day, I'm meeting him on a park bench in New York City. Last thing I would have ever missed. Anyway, God was missing a tooth, but, you know, that's nothing serious, right? A good disguise, I would say. I said, my dear Lord, I am so fortunate that now finally I'm meeting you face to face after all these years. And he said, yes, you are very fortunate. I said, my Lord, I have one little problem. There is still a trace of doubt in my heart. Oh Lord, please give me a sign. He said, what would you want? I said, well, the sun is pretty hot. Would it be possible to make those trees on the other side of the pathway a little taller so we get some shade? He says, what makes you think that God can do that? I said, well, isn't he almighty? He said, that's your definition. I said, then what's your definition? That God is a powerless, toothless old man? Anyway, we ended with that friendly exchange. Oh, yeah, yeah. The day I met God, I'll never forget. Yeah. I hope to meet him again, but this time, not in disguise, but this time in his original form. In the form where he's all attractive. Not toothless, not old, not wrinkled, and not powerless. No, I'd like to see him in his full glory. The almighty, the all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-attractive personality. Ah, Krishna means the all-attractive. Many things are attractive. Money is attractive. But is it all-attractive? No, not all-attractive. Beauty is attractive, but after a while, it kind of, you know, if you look at it every day, sort of go like, I don't know, it's okay. It's not enough. It's not enough. So what is all attractive? Think of something, ice cream. It's not all attractive. What else? What is all attractive? Hard to find, if we really think about it. But Krishna is that. And that is why this mantra has this magic to it. Because the name of Krishna is no different from Krishna. And it's also all-attractive. Thus, we can chant it again and again. And we're having a good time. It's amazing. That is the magic behind it. Because, in this way, we're... And what does it do? It anchors us. It anchors us in our roots. And then all the waves and all the winds and all the situations of life, they don't blow us away. See? When you get spiritual weight, you don't fly away at the first gust of adventure in this world. Right? But if you don't, have that spiritual anchor, that each time something happens, how are you? Oh God, I'm totally, I'm just blown away. Blown away. You get all the time blown away by the circumstances. So that's the first thing. This mantra enters us. With that, I'll do 5 more minutes of mantra chanting and then I'll leave you to meditate. And I'm sure while you're lying in your bed tonight, it's going to play in your head, you know, this mantra. And that's very... Then you're going to have a good sleep.